The message today is from Pastor Stan. It's titled Achilles Tendons, Lessons for Our Souls.
Wow, all those songs are just so appropriate. It was like my sermon in song. That's what it was kind of like. By the way, I thought I heard a keyboard. Is that a keyboard or is that your device thing? That's cool. I got to get me one of those. That provides such a beautiful ambiance, you know. Sometimes we need that background music to kind of transport our soul into realms that are of the intangible, of the invisible. And that's what I'd like to do today, is really try to connect things that are tangible to that which is invisible. And it's kind of an odd title, but the title of today's message is Achilles Tendonitis. And you know what tendonitis is, right? It's an inflammation of your tendon. You overwork it or something, it gets inflamed and it gives you pain, and pretty much everyone gets it. How many of you have had some kind of tendonitis somewhere along the line? Yeah, all right. You know, you can have shoulder tendonitis, you can have carpal tunnel syndrome, right? Maybe in your forearm you have this thing that just kind of irritates you. That's pretty common. Maybe in your knees or your plantar, or for me it was the Achilles tendon. I was felled by the infamous Achilles tendon. And you guys maybe know the story of Achilles from Homer's story of Iliad. The Iliad, anyway. Achilles was a guy who his mom dipped in the river and made him immortal. Except she held the baby by his ankles. So his ankles didn't go into the water, and so the ankles didn't get immortal. So that was his weakness. That's the idea. Your Achilles tendon is your weakness. So that's the whole idea here. Okay, don't. I'm not preaching about Greek mythology. Okay, just to let you know, I don't think that actually happened. In fact, that didn't actually happen. It's a novel written by Homer. But you know, our body works well when it works. And when it works, we kind of function and we don't have this pain. But when we have some kind of pain, when something's wrong, our body tells us that something's wrong. So really, pain is good in a way when there's something wrong and it tells us that something's wrong. Today's sermon may seem like it's about stewarding our bodies, but it's really not. It's about stewarding our souls. In November, we typically do a couple of sermons on stewardship. And so today's stewardship message is on our souls. I don't think I ever did one on our souls before. So like Jesus used a lot of this worldly activities or objects and things to point to things that were otherworldly of heaven. Likewise, I'm going to use today something that's very this worldly to point us to how we can take care of our souls in the presence of our Lord. So this is really lessons on stewarding our souls. Father in heaven, I pray that the things that I share today will be able to be incorporated into our lives. Father, there are things that allow us to understand the intangible. And you've used the tangible to help us to understand the intangible. Lord, I pray that would take place today. Father, if those of us who have pains, those who have ailments and limitations, I pray that we would be able to hear what you're saying to us today so that we can be better stewards of our very souls. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd like to set the stage for the sermon today by sharing with you a little bit about over the last few years. As you know, several years ago, I had to go on a leave of absence because things were just falling apart in my life. As I came back, I endeavored to adjust everything. I literally took a look at everything in my life and readjusted everything. My relationships, the things that I did, things that I ate, the way I preached, the way I think. I just made adjustments to everything. The thing that was really on my heart was, how do I recover from this? I got to a place eventually before all that happened, I thought, this is it. I guess this is the way it all ends. This is kind of meaningless, and this is kind of just how it all goes. But as I spent that time on my leave recovering, I had a dramatic change of my own view of what God is doing in the world. And instead of getting really pessimistic about things, I got super enthusiastic, and I realized that God is always in the process of restoring things. God is constantly in the process of recovering, allowing us to recover. In fact, recovery is built into your body. Our body doesn't always, recovery doesn't always keep up with the way we might tear it down. That's the problem. So really, I share with you regularly from up here, and you might think, well, Stan, you're a bad case, man. You really kind of had it, man. And not long ago, I shared with you about my back and how I have mild arthritis. I had a hard time moving around. My high cholesterol, my back pain virtually went away. My high cholesterol went way down to normal, but my back pain was so bad, if this were the bathroom sink and I were to brush my teeth and have to wash my hands, I would go like this, and I would go, oh, because I couldn't even bear the weight, and I would go like this and wash it all out, and then I'll get back up, I would go, oh. Okay, good to be young, huh? Not long ago, just about a couple of weeks ago, a month maybe, I realized, I bend over, not only do I not feel anything, I'm not even conscious of any back pain. My back is still injured, don't get me wrong. But I am. God has brought me to a whole different place. I did this to help to increase the blood flow to my brain. I complained about my memory before, right? You folks all know, virtually everybody I met, I've said, just want to let you know, I have a terrible memory, so I'll probably forget your name. But I've been wanting to work on my memory, and one of the ways is by blood flow to my brain, just kind of keeping that blood going. And so I'm doing well physically, I'm doing well mentally and emotionally and spiritually, and increasing my workouts gradually. I've been added running into my routine, which I virtually never ran before. I did all kinds of other exercises, but never ran. So I added that in, and lo and behold, I got Achilles tendonitis. So that's what this is all about, okay? First of all, I want to say, we should participate with God in recovery. God is moving toward recovery. He's constantly moving toward recovery, whether it's emotional recovery, physical recovery, maybe spiritual recovery. Maybe spiritually you've been kind of out of it, and you need to really recover there. Maybe relationally you need to have recovery. So anyway, I'm talking about the physical aspect of my tendonitis, and I stopped there and I said, okay, now what do I do, God, about this tendonitis? So I studied, and my spiritual director happened to be a runner. So he happened to have a couple of books on this, and I read those books. I figured out, okay, this is what I need to do. And I went to the internet, and I searched, and what do I need to do? Okay, I found out what I needed to do. And what I'm going to talk about here today is some of the things that I've learned about my tendonitis that is transferable lessons about our soul. And I'd like us to really kind of see how we can, in our lives, more than just learning about tendonitis in our soul, to see how we can go throughout our lives that way when we face difficulties or face a good thing or a blessing or a downfall and a suffering. What is God saying in our lives, and how can we make sense out of this spiritual sense? So I'd like it to be more about, not just about tendonitis, but about how do we go about our lives. So I looked up Achilles tendonitis and I saw the causes and remedies. So here's the first one. If you have your notes page, why don't you open up your notes page there. And the first cause of tendonitis is overuse. Overuse, or you run too fast. Surprise, surprise. So I have been injured before. I've had a number of injuries, and I knew the acrostic RICE, R-I-C-E. Many of you who are athletic or you've done this before know this one. If you could go to the next one. RICE, R-I-C-E, rest, ice, compression, and elevation. So I did that when I had my tendonitis. All right, well, the most important thing of all of these was rest. Every remedy that came back says, you gotta rest it, you gotta rest it, you gotta rest it. And I didn't wanna listen to that, and I didn't for a while. I just kinda was in denial, and okay, sore my tendon, but just kinda go through it, and maybe it'll go away. It didn't go away. So my body told me that I was not behaving. So the thing that really made me not want to rest is I had to stop doing the thing. I didn't want to stop running. I just started off, it was doing really well, but my body needed the time to recover and recuperate. I didn't give my ankles enough time to repair, heal, and adjust. The nutrients take time to move into your tendon and your muscle. It takes time for the frayed tendon to heal up. It just takes time. Non-rest can lead to a chronic condition. It can lead to tendon problems. It can lead to muscle cramps. It can lead to a thickening of your tendon. Imagine this, your tendon is the thickest tendon, your Achilles tendon is the thickest tendon in your body. It can get even thicker if you don't pay attention to your injury. It'll get thicker, but it will get weaker. Isn't that something? You look at a tendon, you say, it's thicker, must be stronger, right? No, it's weaker. And so I thought, oh, that's not good. I wonder how thick my tendon is. It was kind of swollen, so it was definitely thick. And then the next stage, of course, is if you still don't pay attention, it will rupture. And if it ruptures, then you need surgery, then you need to put a thing around your foot, and then you need crutches and all of these, and that was an eye-opener for me, okay? And then I had visions of our friend Ronald Cam, because he tore his tendon playing basketball. And people on the court said they heard it. You could hear it when it tore. I thought, I wonder what that sounds like. But, so he was laid up for a while, and he's my good friend, so I didn't want that to happen. So I heard from God. Can you imagine that? Okay, Stan, you got to ease up. And my realization here is that exercise does not make you stronger. Listen here. Just kind of hear this. Exercise does not make you stronger. Rest makes you stronger. The exercise tears you down. The rest builds you up. If you keep exercising and you don't get enough rest, you will get weaker. Your muscles will not have time to repair. You have to give your muscles time to repair. And you have to have a rest in between your workouts. Adequate rest, really. Adequate rest for your muscles and your tendons to kind of get healthy again. So here's a lesson for the soul. A soul that's lacking in rest will show signs. It's going to show symptoms. Impatience. Fatigue. Maybe meaningless to life. You're going to be hurting people around you. If you're hurting, you're going to hurt people around you. You've heard the term, the phrase, my nerves are frayed. Sometimes you feel like that, right? Don't ignore the signs. Now, we're talking about constant stress. Constant stress without rest is going to wither you. Everyone needs stress. If you don't stress, then you're not going to grow. You're going to shrivel up and kind of blow away like a dried up leaf. So we need the stress, and there are periods of extensive stress. That's actually good for you. But after that period, you need to rest. You need to rest. So if you don't rest, if you have constant stress without rest, your soul will get weaker. You know how it feels. When you're out there, you're giving, 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 and inside your soul is shriveling up. You know this feeling. Those who have given, given, given. The most tragic part about this, I think, is when it happens in ministry. Because in ministry is the place where we're supposed to be receiving, we're supposed to be teaching people how to receive, and instead we're withering up inside. God says to me, Stan, your tendon is like your soul. You might really look good on the outside, and you're exerting, and you looks like you're good. Everybody's, you know, doesn't see what's going on, but inside, you're weaker. You're shriveling up. Give it a rest. So what do? Come to Jesus. Matthew 11:26, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Come to Jesus. When we follow Jesus, we find rest for our souls. In Psalm 23, there's a really wonderful line. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing, or I shall not be in want. And there's a really wonderful line in there. It says, he restores my soul. How often I've looked at that verse and said, oh, yeah, God, I need that soul restoration. Oh, you did it for David, but you're not doing it for me. Why? Well, I didn't notice that there are two verses before this verse. Guess what it says? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still or quiet waters. He restores my soul. If you're not going to rest your soul, God might make you lie down in green pastures. You might still resist. He will lead you beside quiet waters. He wants to lead you beside quiet waters. But for him to lead somebody, you have to follow. What if he's leading you beside quiet waters, but you're not following? You're going to miss out on the restoration of your soul. The first thing is, first cause of this tendonitis is overwork, overexertion, just too much. The second cause of tendonitis is you're changing too quickly. You're changing too quickly. So once I practiced how to run again, I hadn't run for like 20 years. And I actually started running, and I realized I forgot how to run. Literally, it's kind of weird. I'm thinking, I forgot how to run. The things don't even work. Arms and my legs are just kind of awkward. I thought, it's different from when you're running out of the rain. Running out of the rain, right? Okay, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about running, right? So I got better at running, and so I started increasing my running. About a month after I started increasing, I started what is called interval training. Interval training is when you're in the middle of a slower run, that you increase your speed. Here, you increase your speed here for only like a minute or something, and you go back to your normal. And then I got new shoes. Yay! New shoes! And it was so different from my old shoes. They fit differently. And you know these new running shoes? They're different. It's not like, you know, people wear their running these shoes to school and to church and all of that, to go shopping. It's not like that at all. It fits snugly on your foot and feels different. I thought, this is good for me. I ran. Guess what I did? I ran, right? And I ran faster. Achilles tendon. Achilles tendonitis. Positive change is good. But even positive change can cause problems if it's too quick. It turns out change in speed, change in shoes, and if you're running up hills, it's all bad for you. So I did it all bad stuff. Okay, but nobody told me. I didn't read a book before I started doing this, so maybe I should have read a book. My tendon was not ready for the increase in speed or the hills or the change in shoes. I was supposed to have gone really slow. There's another part of me that wasn't ready for the increase. It's called the glutes. You guys know what glutes are? Gluteus maximus. Okay, you can't see my glutes from here, but if I did this, you can see my glutes. And if I bent down to pick up something there, you would see my glutes even better. Okay, so what are your glutes? Your butt muscles. I'm not supposed to say that in the microphone. I'm supposed to let you say that. It's your butt muscles. Okay, obviously, right? If you're running, it isn't only your ankle that's doing work. It's your other muscles. Your other muscles are working. And the other muscles aren't getting in shape at the same time, then you have a problem. So the remedy is to increase gradually. Increase gradually. You can write that in your notes page there. Increase gradually. Growth takes time. And the lesson for the soul here is sometimes we enter a new phase in life, maybe a new job, or maybe caring for a loved one, or maybe a sport that we get involved in. We get carried away and we might overdo it. We don't pace ourselves. A new circumstances is like a new pace or a new shoe. It just takes time to adjust. Maybe you've moved. Maybe you've experienced a divorce or remarriage or death of a spouse. Or maybe you've had children and all life is different. Maybe a new ministry. Maybe financial stress. So when circumstances change and people change too fast and their mental and emotional capacity doesn't have time to catch up, you get tendonitis of your soul. There's an inflammation that happens that causes pain and can cause damage. 1 Corinthians 3:7 says, and let's go ahead and read that one together. You have the 1 Corinthians 3:7? Oh, there it is. Okay. Right, let's read that together. So ready? Go. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. This is really appropriate in that we realize that the sharing of the gospel isn't about causing people to grow. It's about planting seeds, scattering seeds, seeds finding fertile soil, and us watering. That's it. That's all we can do. God makes things grow. So when we make a change, we have to give ourselves time, give our souls time. Especially if it's something new. So keep a control on your soul. Another lesson for the soul is a lesson for the church's soul. The church is a body with many parts, right? So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 to 17 says, let's read that together. Ready? Go. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up. Our body is naturally designed to build itself up. But we have to grow together. So we have to be careful that one part doesn't just run off and do its own thing. There's a spirit of teamwork here that we have to embrace in the soul of the church. There's mutually coordinated support. There's a working together. Changes in one part affects another part. And when we have changes in one part that doesn't pay attention to the other parts, it produces relational conflict. And you can believe it when my tendon, Achilles tendon, was causing relational conflict with other parts of my body. It hindered everything. Walking upstairs, walking sideways or whatever, everything, it affected everything. So that's another lesson. A cause can be we changing too fast. Change gradually. Third one is the cause of tendonitis is muscles are cold. The remedy for this is to stretch before exercising. Now we know about this. We should anyway. Now did you know that in the morning your blood is thicker? Did you know that in the morning your blood vessels are thicker? Did you know that in the morning your platelets, which causes clots in your body, are stickier? They're stickier in the morning. That's why most heart attacks occur in the morning. So if you don't want to stretch, if you don't want to warm up, and you want to just jump out of bed and hit the ground running, some people might talk about that in a motivational seminar, but you're destroying yourself. You're causing damage on yourself. Instead, take time to stretch. Let your muscles warm up. Give it time. Just let it warm up in a natural way. I remember one of the inspirations of my life when I was young was Rocky Balboa. You guys remember that part of the movie? He's preparing for the fight. He's dragging himself out of bed. And what does he grab when he opens the refrigerator? Eggs. And he gets these raw eggs. And what does he do? Cracks it in the glass. And then he downs it. And then he goes on. He's, I want to be like him. That kind of was bad teaching. And I've had to spend a lot of time unlearning that kind of thinking, because you don't warm up, your body's just not ready to go. A lesson for the soul is your quiet time, and you're stretching out to God. Stretch out by reading His word and prayer. Lamentations 3:22 and 3:23 says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." I like Psalm 143:8. It says, "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul." Every morning I just let my soul stretch beyond the here and now, beyond this plane, the horizontal plane, into eternal places. And I sit down with the Lord and I allow God's word and prayer just to stretch my soul beyond. And let the Holy Spirit just kind of gently open up the passageway so my soul can breathe. My soul can bring nutrients, spiritual nutrients to my soul. Blood vessels open up, spiritual blood vessels to my soul, and my soul is renewed with vigor. And I've made it a point, a very, very disciplined point to do that over these years, because I'll be honest with you, I used to be diligent in doing that a long time ago. Kind of got away with that, especially as I started going to school. Got too busy for that. I'll do it some other time. But God has been speaking to me and saying, "Stan, that causes tendonitis in your soul." So the final cause here, cause D, if you want to look in your notes here, is ignoring your limits and focus. One of the resources that I read said, one of the things that can cause tendonitis is an injury to your ankle. And it wasn't until I read that resource that I realized I had a really bad injury to my ankle playing basketball many years ago. I must have been in my early 30s. And I stopped playing basketball since then. I'd stopped a lot of things after that. And I realized when I started running that I can't, actually I knew this for a long time, that the range of motion for my foot, let's say it normally is like this. The range in motion for my left foot was not like this, it was like this. And so I couldn't stretch the back of my calf. I couldn't do that for 25 years or so, 30 years. And so my muscles and my tendons get shorter. In fact, if I were to try to squat down, I won't do it now, but oftentimes I would squat down, I'm working on something, and then I'd want to go flat on my feet. My right foot I can go flat, my left I can't, and when I try to go down, my chest, left knee hits my chest, and I fall on my butt. I've done that many times because I didn't realize. I keep forgetting that I can't flex it back that far. That's a limit. I'm pretty frustrated by that limit because my right foot feels great. My left foot has a limit. Some hurts can guide you and make you wiser. Other hurts can bring scars. So this is a lesson for the soul. Some hurts bring a root of bitterness. Maybe it brings vengeance. Maybe it makes you overly cautious or anxiety, or maybe you can't trust people anymore. Or maybe it leads to depression. Some people have given up completely. First of all, I want to acknowledge that these hurts are very real. If you have that hurt, you know it's very real. Somebody comes up and tells you, hey, why don't you just do this? Why don't you do that? How come you're not doing this? They have no clue what's going on inside of your heart. And yet your hurts are very real. And I want to acknowledge that right here. And really, 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Apostle Paul understood that there are certain things that will not be corrected this side of heaven. Let's read that together. Ready? Ready, go. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. You know that God can use your weaknesses? If you devote your weakness to Him, if you let Him use it, you submit it, you put it on the altar before God, and you say, God, this is my weakness. I'm just going to be honest with you. This is it. Guess what? God already knows, first of all. He is just waiting for you to commit it to Him. Now He can use it. So what happens if we, well, let me go into this last one here. 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17, if we could jump to that one. 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17. And I want to say this, before I read this, I want to say that every effort you make for recovery is appropriate. If you're participating with God, make those efforts. There are a lot of different things that I'm not even talking about here that I've taken to recover. Take those efforts. But eventually, our bodies will fail. And what happens when that happens? The main thing we want to do is to focus on our inner life. Let's read 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17 together. Ready? Go. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we have a contrast here between the physical limits of our physical body and the eternal of our souls. What if we were not so concerned about our physical limits of our body? We did what we needed to do to steward that, but we were open about it. When we got over here, you know, one of the things, I'll share this, one of the things that people most, by far, compliment me on my sermons is when I share my problems, when I share my failings, my weaknesses. And people say, you know, Stan, when you share that up there, it reminds me that I'm okay. It's okay to be me. And it makes me more willing to share with somebody else. What if we were able to share with one another? What if somebody could come in and share with you their brokenness, their inflammation in their soul? And then we were to listen to that and not, instead of judging them as some inferior Christian, what if we were to say, you know what? Thanks for sharing that. How can I support you? I love you. And then use that as an opportunity to remember, like our bodies remind us, that outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day. I'd like to ask the band to come up, and as we think about this, one of the songs that was sung was 10,000 Reasons. And the last verse of that song says, and on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. If you're here today and you know the Lord, continue that recovery. Give it to the Lord. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, receive Jesus Christ into your life. That's the first place to start. Receive Jesus Christ into your life. He'll give you that meaning. He'll give you that eternal life that you desire in your life. Let's go to Him in prayer now. Our Father, we thank You that through our physical bodies, We can have object lessons that point to how you manage our souls and how you want us to treat our souls. Father, I pray that we would learn our lesson and not just rush headlong in denial, but you would cause us to be able to stop. You would cause us to be able to change gradually. You would cause us to be able to embrace our limits. Father, I pray that ultimately we would look to eternity. That day, Lord, we will focus on what is eternal. But in the meantime, Lord, encourage our hearts to follow you with zeal, with purpose. Because as long as you give us the next breath, you have a purpose for us in this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.